Greetings, friends. This is Pastor Dennis Dales. I've been pastoring churches for over 50 years now, and I'm currently pastoring Bible Way Baptist Church in Clarksville, Georgia, as we begin this study today. I've had the privilege of being their pastor there for over 30 years now. Today, we're beginning a new venture into the study of the Word of God. We're going to start bringing 15-minute devotional messages and present them as audio commentaries. Our goal is to teach as many people as we possibly can the unadulterated Word of God and to educate the people of God in their Bible. If you will do one of these studies every day of your life, you'll be surprised what you'll know and what you'll learn in a very short time, a period of time. These lessons will be to the point and will not be filled with a filler to take up space, nor will they be to impress you of what I know or even think I know. They're designed to help you in your spiritual life. We believe that our land is filled with spiritual ignorance of the Bible, which is crippling our churches and destroying our land. The prophet Hosea had something to say that was very true in his day and is still very true in our day as well. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse number 6, now the prophet Hosea declared what God said. And here's what he said, that God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." God says, "I will also forget thy children." Now let's open our Bible today to the first book of Timothy, chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and verse number 1 for our study today of 01 or 01. This study is titled 1 Timothy 01-Introduction. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Let's pray before we get any further. Father, as we bow in your divine presence this evening, I pray that your name might be exalted and lifted. I pray you may be magnified. Open the Word of God that we might declare it all with purity, and may it be plain and simple and understandable. I pray, God, the Word of God might find its lodging place in the hearts of those who are listening. And I pray this set of studies that we're fixing to endeavor and bring it up, God, are going to be blessed and touched and stirred and moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. Train us and teach us thy ways, O God. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Now let me start this study today by saying that there are several ways to acquire knowledge of and from the Word of God. First, we can start with Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1, and we can read every chapter and every verse like reading a book until we get to the last chapter of Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 21. Then when we get through that, we could go back and start all over again with Genesis 1-1 and do the same thing over and over and over in our lifetime. I'll assure you we'll pick up some things by doing so, and every child of God should read the entire Bible several times in their lifetime. However, you'll not grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior like you should unless you, pick up some other things and do them, and I'm going to give you some suggestions on that. I found out from years of studying myself and of the preaching of the Word of God. Now, number 2, you could meditate on the verses of the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to give you some golden tidbits or golden nuggets, if you will, a precious truth out of the Word of God, as David did, and as David said out of the first chapter of the book of Psalms. David said, "The blessed man meditated day and night on the Word of God." Now, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to have a desire to study and learn and meditate on the Word of God constantly. Psalm 1 and verse number 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The word meditate means to ponder on. The word meditate means to think on, to consider, to reflect on, or turn over in your mind. To do so, turn over in your mind and meditate on the Word of God, will allow the Holy Spirit to teach and show you the things that you've never seen before or heard before, and God will use that to build up your faith and give you a knowledge of God and His Word. Or three, number three or third, we can take the books of the Bible, the chapters of the Bible, the verses of the Bible, the words of the Bible, and we can study those, comparing Scripture with Scripture until we have a working knowledge of the Word of God. Now this I have found in my personal life to be the most effective way of learning the Word of God. Now Isaiah, give us a little thought about that. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 and 10, Isaiah said, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" Then he goes on to answer the two questions. "Them that are weaned from the milk." In other words, not little babies anymore. He said, "and drawn from the breast." They've been weaned and they're not having to require mother's milk anymore. "For precept must be upon precept." Then he says it again, precept upon precept. "Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Isaiah is simply saying we need to lay the Word of God on top of each other, each verse and word and phrase, and we'll see what they do. In this manner of these studies, that's what we're going to use in these studies that we're going to do in these little short 15-minute commentaries. Now, our study today will begin in the book of 1 Timothy. That's going to be our first study. 1 Timothy consists of 6 chapters and 97 verses. Chapter 5 is the longest chapter, and chapter 2 is the shortest chapter. 1 Timothy is known as one of the pastoral epistles, along with 2 Timothy in the book of Titus as well. If you want to know how to operate the church by the proper standards, these three epistles, or what sometimes we call letters, will instruct you clearly. I call these books the divine rules, the divine regulations, and the divine instructions of the church. If these epistles are followed properly, if they're followed consistently, and if they're followed closely, the church will find the will of God. And it will be a soul-winning church. It will also be a church tremendously blessed by God above. Amen. I'll tell you, God will touch it from above. And a church that will make a difference in a sin-cursed world in these sinful times. The thought of this first epistle to Timothy is to train and teach Timothy how to conduct himself and to teach and train those that are in the church. It appears that Timothy must have been a convert of the Apostle Paul, as is seen in the next verse, verse number 2. Now we'll look at that a little later when we come to it. These pastoral epistles are the heavenly divine church manual, what I call, sent down from heaven to help the men of God operate the church. Now many preachers like many years ago have bought expensive church manuals to help them pastor before they really realized that God had already given them a church manual. And he's given out of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and he pinned it down by the Holy Ghost. And there was no reason to go to man to find out what God had already given us. Actually, the Bible is the manual for everything. Actually, it's the manual, and I call it the parenting manual. Now you can take the Bible, the manual, and teach us how to be godly parents. It's the marriage manual to teach us how to have good, holy, consecrated marriages that will glorify God. It's the child-rearing manual to teach us how to raise and rear our children. It's the financial manual that will teach us how to control and run our finances. It's the psychology manual to teach us how to think and to live. It's also any other manual that you might need to face the life situations with as well. All the answers we will ever need to live a full life for God are found between the covers of our Bible. What a manual! Glory to God! I love it! Hallelujah! Let us start this first verse now out of the first chapter of 1 Timothy, and then we'll continue on from there. We trust these studies will be a blessing. There'll be many studies in this book. Now we'll look at the first chapter and the first verse. Turn your Bible again to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1 and read with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Let me suggest some other easy ways to help us in our study and to help us to understand the Scriptures. Remember, the Bible is a spiritual book. And to understand it, we must be spiritually discerned. Human wisdom can't understand the things of God. God must reveal His truths to us through the Holy Spirit, or we will never know them. The Word of God is the mind of God, and we must have the mind of Christ through the Holy Ghost to know and have the mind of God. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I found it easier for me to understand the Bible by doing word studies and through the punctuation of the Word of God. I look at particular words, what they mean, and how they're used, and look at the context. I also notice the commas, the periods, the colons and the semicolons that I find in the verses, and any other thing that might stand out. Saying that, I want us to now look at verse number 1 of chapter number 1 of the book of Timothy, and I want to look at the first word. Now, the first word of that verse is Paul. Now, Paul is the writer of this book. His name is the first word of this verse. His name is also the first word of the first verse of all the books he's given the credit of writing except the book of Hebrews. There's 14 of them, and 13 of them will begin with the word Paul. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. All start with his name in the first chapter and the first verse of each of these books. Hebrews starts with something different. Amen. Now we'll state some definite facts about Paul. We'll read about him a little bit and give you a few things, and we'll go on. Number one, Paul was a Jew. In the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 39, the Bible says, "But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." So we find that Paul is a Jew. In other words, he's an Israelite. And we can see what the Scripture says here. He's a Jew of Tarsus. That's where he's come from. Now, number two, Paul was not only a Jew, but he was born a Roman citizen. For in Acts chapter number 22, in verse number 25 through 28, we read this, "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." In other words, Paul's telling him he was a Jew from his birth. Number three, there's something else about Paul. He's not only a Jew and a Roman citizen, but he, before he was saved, was a Pharisee. and he was the son of a Pharisee. In Acts chapter 23 and verse number 6, the Bible says, But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question." After salvation, he was a new creature and a child of God, and he went on by the grace of God. Now, not much is said of his parents. It's not said much. Only two instances I can find means his parents, and we'll give you this, and we'll close and come back into it again in our next lesson. According to this present scripture we just read, he was the son of a Pharisee. That means he was raised to the strict standards of those who observed the law. This is the only reference we find to his father. He was raised a strict Pharisee. Now we trust that it's been a blessing. Study number one has. And I pray that you're looking forward to study number two. And until then, may God bless you. Amen and amen.